Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
Hi everybody, welcome to Kol Shmonachem on this beautiful Sunday night, a week before Shavuos. This is the Shavuos Shir. Tonight is Shir 232. I first want to thank every week for all the people that come here every week, post it, let people know about it. It's a Sichas Haverim, a place we could talk through in Yonim, to join this amount of Chizik, and hopefully we'll all can grow together. If anyone wants to join the WhatsApp chat, please WhatsApp at 732-314-1710, and we can send you the community chat link. Every Sunday, we have a beautiful shir. Rather, it's a rav or a therapist, whatever the Indian is. It's big, big stuff. We're in our sixth year, so please text us. We can go to menachemberenfeld.com and sign up for the shir on every week. He sends out the emails and all the links. All the people that are watching this replay on YouTube, you can click on the subscribe button. You can also click on the like button. So every week when Menachem uploads the videos, you can see every week all the videos. This is going to be the 232nd video, so there's a lot of videos over there. So please join us. Thank you to all the advertising sponsors, the Lakewood Scoop here in Lakewood, Ellie and Ariel from Five Town Central, and Chaya Kaufman from JCN, Jewish Content Network, for always promoting us on all the digital Jewish platforms. Anybody who doesn't know, every Sunday night at 9 o'clock on the Zoom ID, you have different shirim, please join us. Next week is going to be Erev Shavuos. There will not be a shir. Right? Shavuos starts Sunday night. So the following shir will be on June 8th with Dickon Bettinger. He's a world-famous speaker. I gotta think he's part of the Twersky, what's it called, Menachem? Innate Health Group. But, the topic is One Inside Away, how a simple shift in understanding can dissolve stress, bring clarity, and transform the way we experience life. It should be a very powerful share. Please join us the week after Shavuos. After you've been in the stream from the Torah, from the Shavuos, we might not even need to make that share, but just in case, we have a backup. Tonight again, a share 232, and we have a Chush Raviyid, Reb Chaim Moiz, and Gelzer here with us tonight. We really were going to bring him on a long time ago, but we waited specifically for this year because the Gematria is 232, so we have to wait for now. Rabbi Yechfried, why did we wait to 232?
Shalom Uvrach, everyone, to Zoom Shir number 232, preparing for Matan Torah, how to feel part of it when you feel out of it. One must realize that Hashem chose every single Yid to be part of Klal Yisrael to be Kabul, the Torah in Sinai, which leads us off for tonight's Gematria of 232, Bechu Buchar. Hashem chose you.
Very nice.
Beautiful. Okay, we're turning it over to Coach Menachem. It's Sunday night. Erev Shavuos. The Olim could be making cheesecakes, but we're here tonight. Why are we sitting here? What's the reason we're here tonight?
Okay. Welcome, everyone, to another Sunday night. Let's get real with Coach Menachem. Baruch Hashem, we have us here to have Rabbi Geltzweiler with us, talking about Shavuos, Metz Hashem. And thank you, Rabbi Noyer, for the beautiful Gematria, Bechu Bucha. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Before we start, over here in Lakewood, we did have a very, very shver week and for the whole world. And again, we don't ask questions, but sometimes there are things that it's hard. And especially if what we're going to work on, connecting to Hashem, Emunah and Betochen with Torah, so Hashem should help. We all need a Nechama and we should all have it. Mitzvah Hashem. So, it's Erev Shavuos, and we're getting ready for Kabbalah Zatayra. The question is, what does that mean? So, every Yom Tov, there's always something that we can attach to, whether it's a Dalet Minim, and being busy with the Sikha, or Rosh Hashanah with the Shofar, Pesach, there's a lot to do. We attach to something to bring us into the Yom Tov. Shavuos is a little bit... We have a hard time. It's not so tangible. How do we do this? And that's probably why many people get lost.
Kol HaLashon.
Sometimes, you know, there's more emphasis on the cheesecake or the flowers or the decoration, decorating the table, which is everything is beautiful, very nice. But we have to stop for a moment and think, what is it all about? So if we do stop, which we're going to be doing tonight in Mitzvah Hashem, we know that the world, there wouldn't be a world if there wouldn't be a Torah. So that's step number one, just to stop and think, where are we? What's going on? What are we looking for? We're here on this world, you know, to Leman Hashem, to connect to Hashem. But without the Torah, it wouldn't work. We wouldn't be here. And this itself, that we were mekabel the Torah, that's the reason why we're here. So that's step number one, just to think about it. Step number two is to understand that Kachvarichi, Yisrul, Veraisa is all one. So there's Hashem, there is Hashem's words, the Torah, and then there's the Eden. This itself, the idea that we, us little people on this world, can actually sit and learn Torah is something that if we wouldn't be used to it, it wouldn't make sense. We got used to, you know, we learn and we think it's, yeah, why not? We understand. But the Torah is much deeper than that. You know, the same way we have a hard time connecting to Hashem, in a way we should have a hard time connecting to the Torah, because at the end of the day, that's one. And then we can turn to ourselves and say, wait a second, we're also part of that. So it can be a challenge just to connect to ourselves, the real us, the real me, the real Yid, to connect, whether, you know, with the Torah, the mitzvahs, tefillah, davening to Hashem, but it all brings us down to what we do here every Sunday night. We're really trying to figure out how to become closer. What are we looking for? Why are we getting lost? Why is it so hard? But the Shavuos is, this is it. Kabbalas HaTorah, after Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, we saw that is Hashem and He gave us the Torah, and here we are, and this, thousands of years later, holding on to it, no matter what, even if we have questions we don't ask, we continue, and we're waiting for Hashem from Mashiach, but this is the core essence of the Yiddishkeit and what we're looking for. So, I guess there's a lot to talk about when it comes to knowing who I am, knowing connection to Hashem, understanding what's my connection to Torah, and let's put it on the table, let's talk about it, let's see where we are, and amidst Hashem we'll be able to grasp some ideas how we can get into the Yom Tov from Mitzvah Hashem with a lot of Siyata Dishmaya.
For the beautiful opening, thank you so much. Okay, let's get into it. Tonight's share, we titled it, Matan Torah, how to feel part of it when you're out of it. I'm going to read Reb Chaim Oizes bio. Reb Chaim Oizes Geltzeler is respected Magid Shir and Talmud Chacham, known for his clarity in learning, a warm approach to teaching. He's the son of Reb Eliezer Geltzeler, Zechus Tzadik Rocha, Rosh Hashiva of Yisrael, and grandson of renowned Reb Michal Twersky of Milwaukee, also an anecdote from Reb Dessler. Rabbi Geltzeler studied in Mechon L'Arod L'Dayonis Yerushalayim, receiving his advanced training in Halach and Psak. He currently delivers Shiurim in Tom's River, New Jersey. He's admired in his depth, sincerity, and dedication to Talmidim. His Shiurim can be found in Torah anytime. And tonight's show, we're going to learn it, L'Zeicha Nishmas, the three Bachim that were nifty here in Lakewood. It's a rough week here in Lakewood, and the Olam is, you know, needs an Achama for it, HaBachar. Rabbi Dov Yitzhak ben Ramosha, HaBachar Chaim Zelek ben Rabbi Lezer Yehuda, HaBacha Rafael ben Rabbi Yaakov, and we're going to do it also the Nishmas. My father was this Yartzeit, was this past week, Rabbi Tuvia ben Baruch Yosef, and of course, Harav Eliezer ben Harav Eliyahu Yeshua, Rabbi Chaim Oizer Geltel's father, Mamash Rechush V'yid Gevein, here in Lakewood, was nifted many years ago, Yeschus V'z Neshama. Rabbi Chaim Oizer, take it away.
Okay. So, first of all, thank you for having me. Before we discuss what, you know, the title that we had, Matan Torah, how to feel part of it, something like that, when you're out of it. when I told you, I told Oshi, Erica, I told him that I was a little nervous, that I don't, you know, there's a Q&A, and I hardly know. You know, people ask questions, and I don't really have the answers to people's questions. I don't have answers to my own. So she told me it's a conversation, and I thought about it on Shabbos. And I was remembering a Mishnah, and Gevaldige insight, and I want to just open with this, push because it's Mamash, Gevaldige insight. The Mishnah says, that Shnaim Sheyosh V'Oiskim B'Torah, Shechina Shuri B'Nei. And the Mishnah quotes a positive, Oz nidburu yirei Hashem ishareyeh, v'yakshav shereyishma, v'yakshav saves the car in the funnel. Now, what's fascinating is,
Hamas just touched the pasuk.
So, Oz nidburu, that when yirei Hashem speak to each other, yirei Hashem speak, you know, to each other, friends, ishareyeh, two yirei Hashem speak to each other, and Hashem listens, and he writes it down, and he, you know, it's written down before him, before Hashem. So, that's what the Mishnah says. So you see that even two people are discussing Torah, then the Shekhinah is there with them and it's being written down. But what's fascinating is that this pasuk is, you know, the context. The context of this pasuk is it's a Malachi Perek Gimel. Malachi Perek Gimel is the very last Perek of Nevuah. So you have Tanakh, Torah, Nevi, Meksuvim, and the last Novi, you know, you have Terei Osar, the last one is Malachi. Malachi is the last Novi. So this is the last contact that Nevuah has with Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael is in this world, and the way we communicate with Hashem, the way we know what the right thing to do is that we have a Novi, and the Novi talks to us, and the Novi tells us, you know, what Hashem says. And we take that and we write it down. That is the definition of Torah Shebikhtav. That is the definition of Tanakh. Right? So it's the Dvar Hashem. How do we know what to do? We take the Dvar Hashem and we write it down. What Hashem says is, in Malachi Perek Gimel, that this institution is closing. This channel of communication is coming to an end. This is the last Perek. And Hashem says, from now on, it's the reverse. From now on, it's you guys talking to each other and trying to figure out what Ratzon Hashem is, and now I'm writing it down. So whereas till now Hashem speaks and there's a channel of Nevuah, and we write down whatever Hashem says now the table's turned, and now it's Teresh Valpeh, and the definition of Teresh Valpeh is the two Yidden meet each other, and we're both in the dark, and we're all lost, and we don't know what the right thing is to do, because no one knows. There's no Teresh Valpeh, we don't have clarity. We have each other. So Oz Nidbru Yirei Hashem Ishereyeh. We meet each other and we ask each other. You know, we ask each other for tips. We ask each other for direction. We ask each other for some enlightenment. And Hashem says, you know, so now this is my Torah. Hashem says, you know, you speak and now I write it down. So we should know that there's a very big world today and a lot of people are doing a lot of things. But we're here in a little corner of, you know, the whole World Wide Web, and we're looking for the Eibishter. And we should know that Hashem, you know, tuned in. And he's writing it down. So everything you say is recorded, and all the thoughts and all the, and it's, we're writing Torah as we speak. There's a Torah being written in Himmel from our discussions and us trying to, you know, trying to find meaning. So, so regarding the question, how to feel part of it when you're out of it. So it's like this. Good questions. I'm not going to give you an easy answer. So you have to understand. Let me not scare you off. Let's just get into it, and then we'll talk about it. So the zach is like this. I think the question is built on a. It's the whole question is based on a, I don't want to say a false premise, but that's what I mean. I'm just without saying it. So the question is based on Nazar premise. The premise is that Matan Torah is about learning, that Shavuos is about learning Torah. Now I don't learn Torah. I'm not into it. I don't have a connection. Or it's not a serious enough connection. And therefore, I Menachem said before, that, you know, the Pesach, I'm part of because I ate matzah. And Sukkot is a part of because I'm sitting in the Sukkot. But Shavuos, if it's all about learning Torah, so, you know, the Rosh Hashiva and the Rosh Kohen, and the guy sitting and learning full time. So he has part of Shavuos. But me, you know, what's my part of Shavuos? Now, I think there's a gefährliche confusion, and we should make a little order over here. The confusion is like this. Torah is Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. It's very important. And it would be very appropriate to have a Yom Tov in the Jewish calendar that would celebrate Limudat Torah. And we have one. It's called Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is a day that Klal Yisrael, as a collective, as a community, just finished reading the Torah together. There are two menhagim, we're not going to get into this, but according to our Minik Bava, that we finish the Torah every year. So we finish the Torah every year. The day we finish the Torah every year, we throw a party. Throw a party like no other. There is no other day in the year like Simchas Torah besides maybe for Purim. So yeah, Purim and Simchas Torah are in the calendar the two most exciting days. There's fun, there's exciting, there's even bonfires. You look in the monogamy of Simchas Torah, they're fascinating. Anyway, but Simchas Torah is sort of the Siyam HaShas before there was the Siyam HaShas. So you have all the Yidden in every single community. You have the Svadim, the Ashkenazim, the Taimana, every shade of Yiddishkeit. We all, as a collective, learned Torah. We all read the Torah from Bereshit to Leinik Kol Yisrael. And now we finished. So now that we finished, we throw a party. Now the simcha of dancing with the Torah and Simchas Torah is, you know, the halacha is that you should give, let's say, you should give chasen Torah, you should give to Talmud Chacham. Because if, you know, whoever is going to read the end of the Torah should be someone who actually invested in it and someone who actually spent time learning Torah. So Simchas Torah is a Yom Tov that celebrates learning Torah. And very similar to Simchas Shas, right? So you finish the Torah and then you start the Torah right away. So Simchas Torah celebrates learning and studying Torah. Shavuos is a whole other thing. So there's, in Birchas Torah, there are two brachas. There's Lasik B'Divrei Torah, or Al Divrei Torah, and Asher Baruch Habano. Now the Tor, the Bach, they're all perplexed. You don't find any mitzvah that has two brachas. Every mitzvah, you have one bracha that, you know, that should suffice. Why do you make two brachas on one mitzvah? So you're sitting down to learn Torah, you should make a bracha. Asher Kitzchon HaMitzvah, it's one of Lasik B'Divrei Torah, why do you make another bracha? So the Tor and the Bach explains this, is that there aren't two brachas on learning Torah. There's one bracha to learn Torah. And then there's another bracha. The other bracha is, Asher Bachar Banu Mikala Amim V'Nasa Lanu Esterosai. That is a bracha that Hashem chose us. Hashem made us His people. Asher Bachar Banu Mikala Amim. And these are two very different elements in Torah. One is Torah as a study, and the other one is Torah as a lifestyle. And when we have these two Yom Tov, we have some Chistorah that celebrates the study of Torah, but when Shavuos is Matan Torah, what is Matan Torah? Matan Torah is the time when Hashem came down and Hashem said, "Va'atem tiyuli mamlechus kana v'goy kodesh." Hashem chose us as a people. Hashem took from all the nations, He took one nation and He chose them. They are going to be His representative in the world. And He gave them His Torah, and in this Torah He gave them 613 mitzvahs. Now these mitzvahs, as the Zohar says and as the Rambam explains the concept similarly, these 613 mitzvahs are 613 ways in which a person could connect to the Eibishter, how a person could refine his character, how a person could be morphed and shaped into the type of person that Hashem wants, that Hashem wants to have in this world. So when we talk about Shavuos as Matan Torah, we don't talk about Shavuos as the study of Torah. We talk about Shavuos as the time when we stood by our Sinai and Ayoyim Azaniyei Salam. Hashem chose us as a people, as a Mamlechus Kana B'Gur Kodesh, and He gave us 613 mitzvahs. Now, learning the Torah is a very important one of those, but in Shavuos, it's one of 613. And Shavuos is the reason why. Now, so you ask me how to feel part of it when you feel out of it. So, there's no part of it. Are you a Yid? Do you put on tzitzis every morning? Do you put on tefillin every morning? You light Shabbos candles every Shabbos? Are you proud to be, does Judaism mean something to you? If Judaism means something to you, and you wake up happy that you're a Yid, and you wake up proud that you're Jewish, and it means something to you, and your life has meaning, and you derive meaning from your Yiddishkeit, and you understand that you have a relationship with Eibishter, and Hashem chose you. Hashem chose you, like Bar Noach said, B'chol Bochar, Hashem chose you as a person. When you wake up in the morning, Hashem chose you to represent Him in this world. Now that, Asher Bachar Banu, bris that you have with Eibishter, that is what you celebrate Shavuos. So it's not so much how much you learned or how much you didn't learn. The question is, how Jewish are you? What does your Judaism mean to you? Are you a Yid? And I'm sure you are. I mean, this is, I'm assuming, and I understand that obviously, you know, there's an element in learning Torah that maybe can be challenging, and we'll discuss this in a couple of minutes. But the first of all, overall, you have to sort of have a paradigm shift. When you come into Shavuos, it's not about how much I learned and how much I didn't learn. It's about how I'm living a Yiddish life. Ashireinu matav chalkeinu manom gerelenu mayofi yirshuseinu. You wake up and you say, when, you know, you wake up and you wash negavas with your kids. And you tell them moida ami. And when you put them to sleep, you read Kirsh Mishalam Mitte. And you're part of transmitting, you're part of bringing up another generation of Eden. Another generation that's going to put on tefillin, another generation that's going to say Shema Yisrael. Another generation, it's not only for the next generation, it's for you yourself, that you were chosen three, I don't know how many thousand years ago. And the world is such a godless place. And we have a little corner in which we represent the Rebbeinu Shalom, and in which we have a personal bris with Eibishter. That is what we celebrate in Shavuos. You know, it's a fascinating thing. The Baal Shem Tov, the Toldos, quotes the Baal Shem Tov as saying that if people would have more kavana by Ahava Soilam, by Ahava Rava, then Mashiach would come. That's what, there's, you know, people understand that Ahava Soilam, that's when you ask Hashem to open your heart and your mind to Torah, Avinu, Avrachman, Amrachim, Rachim Aleinu, But I think that the part of Avinu Avraham Rachman, I don't see so much how much that has to do with Mashiach. That is your personal relationship with the Torah and with Hashem. But what does that have to do with Mashiach? But the Baal Shem Tov, I think obviously didn't mean the beginning of Ahavas Adam. He meant the end of Ahavas Adam. When you say, just dwell on these words. Think what it means, think what it means, that is the life that we're living. And that is what Shavuos is. So you have Lasik the Torah is on Simchas Torah. You have the Avinu Avrahman, that is Simchas Torah. You have the Torah as the study, as learning Torah, Talmud Torah, can I get Kulam, that is all Simchas Torah. And that's a very special Yom Tov. It's a very happy day and something we should think about, you know, when we get there. But now Shavuos is not about that. Shavuos is about Abona Bechata. Shavuos is about you being a person in this world that Hashem chose, Shabbat Abonu Mikal Amim. Ato Bechatanu Mikal Alam. Ahto Isonu. Ritzis Abonu. Roimam Tonu Mikal Alshonis. You're an elevated person. So you wake up in the morning, your life is saturated with meaning. It's not only meaning for you in your life today, but you have a personal relationship with Eibishter. You have a personal covenant with Eibishter, you and your wife and your kids and your family. And you're part of a greater story that didn't begin with your birth and it didn't end with your death. It's a story, you're part of a cosmic story. And you have a personal relationship with everybody in Shalom, and that is what you celebrate as Shavuos. I'm kicking the ball back into your court. You asked me how to feel part of it when you're out of it. So, Torah still has a very, very important role, even in Shavuos. But put that aside for a second. I'm asking you, what is Yiddishkeit to you? What is your Yid? You do all the mitzvahs. You know, kosher meat costs a lot more than McDonald's. You don't work on Shabbos. You have all these things that sometimes feel restraining, but what is the reward that you have from your Yiddishkeit, right? From the Yiddishkeit, that's what I'm saying, the Torah not as a study. The Torah is a lifestyle. Do you live a Yiddish lifestyle? Now, I'm sure you do. And I'm sure you're happy about it, but that is what you should be thinking going into Shavuos. What is my relationship with Maamad Har Sinai? What is my relationship with being chosen? How do I look? Now, sometimes you'll want to maybe put yourself down, but Hashem wouldn't choose you, but that's all baloney. Hashem chose you, you were born, Hashem chose you, Hashem gave you life today. If Hashem gave you life today, Hashem chose you today to represent Him in this world. And Hashem told you today that if Atem Tiyuli Mamleches Kanam Begoy Kodesh, and Hashem today gave you 613 ways how to refine yourself and how to elevate yourself and to become the person that He wants you to become, and you could do it. And so now, Shavuos, again, to just recap this for a second, Simchas Torah is Torah as a study, Shavuos is Torah as a lifestyle. And that's what we celebrate. We celebrate the Ashabach Abono. And I think if we go into Shavuos with that mindset, then on the one hand, you don't have to do anything else. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to do anything to be part of it. You are part of it. Because you're part of it, you're doing it already, you're doing all the right things already. You're a Yid, you're putting out film, you're davening, you're being mechanech your kids, you're paying a lot of tuition that they should have a good gewaldige chinuch, you're telling them nice stories by the Shabbos table, you're doing all these things already. Just be conscious that this is, you know, finally you have a day to celebrate it. You have a day to say, Gevaldik, I'm so happy. Today is the day, if you're happy about your Judaism, then today is your day. Now, if you're not, go to sleep, wake up in 2 days. Bahamas. I mean, there is, we have to talk about it, maybe we don't. But if your Yiddishkeit is important to you, and Yiddishkeit is something that gives you meaning, and joy, then Shavuos is the day that you thank Hashem for choosing you, and you recommit. You go back to Har Sinai and you say Nasav Nishma again. You say I want to be part of this. I want to have this relationship with the Borei Olam. I want to be your son. I want to be Nivchar. I want to be an Esrayman, right? I want to be an elevated person. I don't want to be a mundane person. I want to be an elevated person. I want to reflect. I want my lifestyle, not my film, not my tzitzis, my lifestyle, the way I go through day to day life. You know, whereas it would be mundane, but by Yid it's full of Kedusha, it's infused with Torah, it's infused with the Ratzon Hashem. That is, so this is Nekuda. So, fine. That is, so answering your question, The Shavuos, it's, I don't know how and why you would feel out of it, right? So if we could take academics, not only academics, we could take the actual toil of Torah, which is a very important part of Yiddishkeit and part of Shavuos, but I don't think that that is the central idea of Shavuos. The central idea of Shavuos is standing by Mount Torah, becoming part of Klal Yisrael, becoming part of the people that Hashem made a covenant with, a relationship with. So that is the first Nakuda.
Okay. There's a lot of questions. We'll get to it. Let's take a poll from the Olam. Everybody, let's go. Here we go. Okay. First question. What best describes your current relationship with Torah learning? I learn regularly and I feel connected. One. Number two, I learn, but I don't feel emotionally connected. Number three, I want to connect more, but I struggle to find time or motivation. Fourth possible answer, honestly, I feel disconnected, unsure where to begin. Second question, what do you think blocks you from feeling a real connection to Torah? A, I've been hurt by religious experiences or expectations. B, I don't see myself in the story. It feels distant or abstract. C, I'm going through the motions, but my heart isn't in it. Or D, I never really stop to ask, what does Torah mean to me? Third question. What would help you feel more included in the experience of Kabbalah Satara? A, hearing Torah that speaks to my struggles and real life. B, a space to be honest without judgment. C, seeing that even out of it, people belong at Har Sinai. Or D, remember that Hashem gave me the Torah as I am. Remembering that Hashem gave me the Torah as I am. Those are the three questions. Answer the best answer that you could relate to. We'll share it and then we'll go to the live questions, okay? Mm-hmm. We're gonna look at the polls together in a minute, and then if you have any comments on them, we could do it, then we can go to the questions, okay?
No problem. You should sing a niggin or something.
Ask him. Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Here we go. Okay, the first question we ask, what best describes your current relationship with Torah and learning? Most people, 51% of people say, I learn regularly and feel connected. So Roy Doyle, 51% here. Good to go. 14% I learn, but I don't feel emotionally connected. 26% of the people, I feel I want to connect more, but I struggle to find time or motivation. 9% of the people, honestly, I feel disconnected and unsure where to begin. Chaim, is there any comment on this?
First of all, I'm very pleasantly surprised that, Baruch Hashem, 51% of the people learn regularly and feel connected. I am certain that a couple of years ago this wouldn't be the answer. I think the pendulum is swinging in a certain direction. So I'm grateful for that. The people that want to connect more, that's a very gewaltig Sach. The time, I don't think it's about time. I think it's about motivation. It's just my judgment from my own life. So I think I really have an issue with time, and the people that I know, it's usually not about time. It's usually about motivation. So, you know, the story of Shul Salante, that someone asked him how much, you know, he only has 15 minutes to learn what he should learn. So he said he should learn Musar. So he says, yeah, Musar, you know, I only have 15 minutes. He says, yeah, if you learn 15 minutes of Musar, you'll figure out that you have more than 15 minutes to learn. So, so I think it's a shtickle about motivation. And so the real question is that the other 14 plus 9, I'm terrible at this, but a percent that don't feel emotionally connected and are not sure where to begin, I think that's a very serious, you know, combine that to the other 26%. So I think that that's really what we have to focus on. There's a tremendous percent that don't feel connected or, you know, don't find their place. So we'll have to talk about that. Remind me soon, let's talk about that.
Yeah. Number two, what do you think blocks you from feeling a real connection to Torah? 27% of people, they say, I've been hurt by religious experience or expectations. 70% of people, I don't see myself in the story. I feel it feels distant or abstract. 31% of people, I'm going through emotions, but my heart isn't in it. So most people, again, it's very, the numbers are all pretty equal. But this is the number one answer technically. And then the 25% of people, I never really stop to ask what Torah means to me. So it seems like these are the four main things why people don't feel a real connection. Either they were hurt by Yiddishkeit, something happened to them, or they don't see themselves in the story. It's more like, it's a story that's nothing to do with them, you know, Shara, Bara, Mazik, Hevel, or I'm going through emotions, but their heart's not there. Or fourth, I really never stop to ask what the Torah means to me. Any comment on this, or should we go to the next one?
They're very intense.
Mm-hmm. Answer.
They're very intense answers.
Yeah, we didn't give them an option to say, I'm madly in love with Torah and I feel super connected. We didn't give them that option.
No, I think these are real, look. I think that there are two general categories. There's the idea that it feels too distant and abstract. And I think that the person that never asked what Torah means to him, if it wouldn't feel distant and abstract, then, you know, it would hit him in the face. So I think these two are sort of one. And that's what I think is a big issue, that, you know, you're sitting and learning, you don't feel what it's telling you. That's a tremendous issue. Something we should talk about. And you know, going through the motions, my heart isn't in it. That is avodas Hashem in this world. That's nothing good. I think every person that learns has his ups and downs in this inning. You do the right thing because it's the right thing, but your heart isn't always in it. And I think that the avoda is to, there are really two ways to deal with this. Some people, by learning and being consistent and doing it again and again, is going to, you know, Hamar Shiva Machzir Lamotiv. So it's some people, even though their heart isn't in it, if you tell them to learn a little more and make a CM and learn more, then their hearts open up. Some people, that's not going to work. And that's, you know, going back to Ebersol Salanta. That's sometimes when you need Musa. You need Musa to open your heart up. You need the Chavis of Avos to open your heart up. Sometimes, you know, you can't ignore it. You have to, Chavis of Avos is a whole different study. It's a whole different sugya. So it's not in your head. It's in your heart. This person that's doing all the motions, but his heart isn't in it. The problem isn't in his head. The problem is in his heart. So he needs to do open heart surgery. So sometimes you need to. Sometimes you don't need to. Remind me to talk about this soon after we finish all the questions so I can think like a minute.
What would help you feel more included in the experience of Kabbalah Torah? 31% of people hearing Torah that speaks to my struggles in real life. 13% space to be honest without judgment. 7% seeing that even when I'm out of people belong at Har Sinai. But the number one answer, 41% of people are saying, remembering that Hashem gave me the Torah as I am.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack here. Mamash a lot to unpack here. I like that 49 people said that remembering that Hashem gave 49% of the people, remembering that Hashem gave me the Torah as I am. It's a gewaltige Sache, but it's very dangerous. Because first of all, that's really what that literally was mamish the answer that's sort of what I came to tell, that what I came to share today, is that you, b'cha b'cha, Hashem chose you, Hashem chose you today. And you have, but the as I am part is true, but that's not Hashem's expectation. So yes, you should know that when you woke up, the way you look, Hashem chose you as is, and He told you, "I'm giving you the Torah, I'm giving you the mitzvahs." But Hashem doesn't want you to stay as I am. So even though as I am is comforting in the fact that you don't have to do anything beyond, meaning you don't have to go run Eloi b'shamayim, Eloi me'ev alayam. You don't have to do anything to earn it. You're there already. You were by Mount Torah. You're now by Mount Torah. Every day, you are chosen. So know that. And it is as you are. But the expectation is that you're not going to be at the same place next year. The expectation is that the Torah is going to do something and you're going to take it seriously and you're going to do the mitzvahs in a way that's going to transform the way you are. And next year, Shavuos, you're going to be in a whole different place. So the as I am part is extremely powerful, but it shouldn't be confused with complacency and, you know, just, you know, Hashem loves me the way I am, so take advantage of Hashem's love. It's not how it works. Yes, Hashem chose you the way you are, but Hashem has tremendous expectations from you, and Hashem gave you the weight of His entire relationship with the world, the entire relationship with Klal Yisrael. Everything is on your shoulders. And you, if you stand on Mount Torah the way you are, and you say Na'aseh V'Nishma, but you commit to representing Hashem in this world, and you commit to representing Hashem in your life in a real, full, vibrant, alive way, then the expectation is that you're not going to be as I am. So the as I am words trigger me a little, but they're true. But yeah.
Some people have to hear it just because of those who answer that they feel disconnected or they got hurt. So first you have to realize the way you are, Hashem loves you the way you are, and they can sit with that. Hopefully eventually they can get to a place where, okay, now what's my mission?
Beautiful. So I agree. No, 100%. Yeah. 100%. So with that, I'm asking. You Mitzvah. Are.
We'll get there, Mitzvah.
Beautiful.
Okay, let's go. First live question. You're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. I work in a daycare and I give over to little kids, like the importance of learning and everything. But someone came and made fun of it and made me feel very bad. How do I not let someone else take away my feeling of worth of raising the next Jewish generation?
Whoa. That, first of all, it made me very upset. I mamish don't understand. Kotzke Rebbe, this is infuriating, but Kotzke Rebbe came to a city where he grew up and he visited his Kita Alef Rebbe. And he said, everyone else might have taught me, you know, they taught me more sophisticated things. Maybe it was true. Maybe it wasn't true. I don't know. But I know my Kita Alef Rebbe only told me the truth. So the first thing is that when you tell a child the story of Avraham Avinu and the story of the Achnas Zarchim of Avraham Avinu and Sarai Menu, and tell them the story about Rivka schlepping the water, that is the bread and butter of Judaism. Everything that they are going to go through in life, you know what? Look, the first Rashi in Chumash begins with a question. And that is that the Torah starts in the wrong place. The Torah starts with the story. And Rashi is bothered that the Torah should have started, the Torah should have started by Parshas Bo, where there's all the mitzvahs. Now, I don't want to give a whole lecture, but the point, I just want to say one point. And that is that we said before that the 613 mitzvahs, and this is in the Rambam and in the Zohar, and the Ramban agrees, and this is a Mamash foundation, you saw it is the Indian, that the Torah doesn't just have random mitzvahs. The function and purpose of the mitzvahs in the Torah are to create a certain type of final product, to morph a person into a certain being that looks a certain way. And that is Mamelechas Kahanim, a Goy Kodesh, holy people, and people that reflect, you know, the Derech Hashem. The Torah begins with stories because when the stories of Bereshis are the prototype, the stories of Avraham and Sarah and the Rivka, all these stories, the kindergarten Torah, that is what the foundation of the Torah is. The foundation of the Torah is that you should know that ultimately when you're going to do mitzvahs and you're going to do Ashavas Aveda and you're going to lend someone money and you're going to, whatever it is you're going to do, the Torah wants you to be a certain type of person. And that person is the person that your Mora taught you about. That is Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu and that is Rivka and that is all these stories. To think about it, the Torah has an entire sefer and a half before the Torah says the first mitzvah. It's just telling us stories. The Torah put us all through kindergarten. And the Torah is telling us, before I'm telling you any mitzvahs, I'm not telling you anything. I just want to tell you about people that I respect. I want to tell you about the people that I love, the people that I appreciate, the people that I chose you because you are their, because you're their children. Right? The Torah chose Avram, Hashem chose Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Why did Hashem choose Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov? Hashem chose the murder to Yaakov because they represented something. And that is the story that you tell everyone. When you come and you paint that little plate with the four doors in Parshas Vayera, and you make this little picture of the well schlepping the water. And you tell the story about Avram jumping in fire. Every single Jewish value, all the morals and ethics and values that the entire Torah is trying to uphold is in those stories. So the absolute foundation of Yiddishkeit are these stories. And you come to Matan Torah, you have all these children that are saying Na'aseh v'Nishma. Not that this, not
Kol
children
HaLashon.
That are saying Na'aseh v'Nishma now. Children that are gonna have in their DNA, in their subconscious, they're gonna know these stories, and they're gonna wanna be like Avraham Avinu. You know, when you hear a little story people understand, we don't learn in classrooms. Classrooms are boring. And I don't even know if the people that are listening now, I hope. But classes are boring. If you would speak, I don't know if I would listen. I don't have the attention span. But storytelling is interesting. That's engaging. And that brings people in. And that opens up people's imagination. So when primarily what you do is you tell stories. And you tell not some stories. You tell the stories that Hashem tells. Hashem started his story with stories, and you start your chinuch with stories. So when you sit down and you say these stories and you open up these children's imagination, you open it up to Avraham Avinu jumping into the Kivshan HaEsh because the stories of the Akedah, the story of Rif, all these stories. And I'm sure you add stories of the Chafetz Chaim and the Baal Shem Tov. All these stories are Torah's emes. And they are the emes. You can't appreciate enough how much this is the foundation of our entire Yiddishkeit. And we can't start giving mitzvahs and a chodesh hazeh lachem and 613 mitzvahs to people who don't have the stories before. So you go into Shavuos and you should know that you did the holiest, the most foundational work in Yiddishkeit possible. And sometimes infrastructure isn't appreciated. And, the people who build the bridges don't always get a shout out. But at least you should know your personal Shavuos, it shouldn't be, please.
Okay, let's go to the next live question. You're on.
Okay, I hope I didn't trigger you with my question.
I need to trigger him. I gotta get him up.
No, he's Kachadik, so I want to be vulnerable. I see there are a lot of goyim that are spiritual leaders, coaches, and they are connected to their soul and to Hashem. And I want to understand what is the difference between us and them. Now, when I listen to them, I could really feel, first they bring me closer to Hashem. Sorry about that, and I don't feel that there is any he that did this to me. So I really struggle to understand the difference between, I know a yid is much more than a goy, but I can't grasp it. I would like to understand it more.
Okay, look, it's a good question. First of all, that's a fantastic question. Bamis. I myself, deal with this. I it resonates with me. I don't know if I'm gonna have a good answer for you. I'll just tell you what I think.
First, thanks for not judging. And you don't know what it means for me. I listen, and I'm usually guilty when I listen to these spiritual coaches or whatever I be.
So it could be, I'm going to let you keep some of that guilt. So let's not, so.
Okay.
I look at it like this. Okay. There's a story of Rebbe Meilech and Rebbe Zisha were on a bridge. This is an old Zisha story. I don't even know if I got the name straight, but this is how the story goes. And Rebbe Meilech and Rebbe Zisha were on a bridge up, is going into Germany, spreading, Yiddishkeit. I've seen this. And the Yetzirah came to them. The Sitra Achra, and he said, listen, if you go into Germany, I make the whole Germany into Chassidim. And they went back. I think the biggest struggle that we have today, I don't know if the biggest, Okay, that's a very big statement. I don't make such a statement. But a very big struggle that we might have today in our pride in Judaism is the result of our success. Sometimes it's not good to be so successful. We were tremendously successful and we converted most of the world to Judaism. Now, obviously, they all took, you know, they all took their path and they veered off the Torah's path, which I'm mazel for that at least. But that is, I think, 2,000 years ago, in a Roman society, in a pagan society, it was much easier to wake up in the morning and say, Hashem Baruch Abanu Mikol HaAmim. If you wake up in a society that is sort of Judeo-Christian, it's increasingly difficult because they took our entire Torah, and they took a lot of the true and emstiga parts, and it worked, and it converted them. So now you look and you say, listen, you know, they keep the Torah as good as I do. So first of all, I would tell you that there's the, don't go for the Alibaba version. Just, first of all, stick to the original. The original is always better. It's more authentic. And the nuances sometimes that, you know, the copy might look just as good as the original sometimes, but there might be nuances lost on you. And it's, sometimes it's unnecessary. Meaning as I, there is authentic voices in Torah that derive inspiration from Torah itself. And I'm not denying that there is good things said by some ministers, and I don't deny it at all. I think, you know, there's a lot of the Christian Bible that's taken straight out of our, I'm talking about the New Testament, not the Old Testament. There's a lot of good stuff there because they just, you know, they took our stuff and they copied it. So now they go fakoif it. So I would tell you like this. I don't know why it's necessary. Sometimes, you know, there was a poll before. You were here. Could be you voted. And one of the things that people feel disconnected with Torah is sort of, you know, I've been hurt by religious experiences.
Yeah.
Sometimes we feel like, you know, you wake up and Yiddishkeit I know already. I've been there. It's irrelevant. They weren't helping my problems. There's a nice minister on YouTube says Gevaldige Torah and it connects with me. So I don't think it's fear to yourself, obviously, because you're Mavakeshes. You're looking for the truth. You're looking for Torah and you're connected to Torah because really what's connecting you with that guy, whatever, with that Musar Zogar over there is the Torah that he's saying, right? It's the truth that he's saying. It's really the Perkovis that he's saying. But so I think that I would ask you to look beyond the experience, because I think Torah is very wide and very big, and there's a lot of emes and there's a lot of Torah. You have to look. I wouldn't take Torah from a Christian. I mean, although I don't deny sometimes their sincerity. I mamish don't. Again, a lot of people are full of garbage, but again, you could say that about. So I don't want to go there.
It's more of the vitals and spirituality than the. It's not like Christianity.
So, you know, there's a famous story about one of the Israeli prime ministers that, you know, one of the American presidents that challenged an Israeli prime minister why on his money it doesn't mention God, right? So he says, we have a God we trust, why don't you have it on yours? She said, because if we write on our money, it would actually mean something. So you have to understand, I don't want to get into Christian theology, the book of Romans, the book of Hebrews, we don't have to go there. But you have to understand that the first thing that Christianity did as a religion was to get rid of the mitzvahs. And that's how it became successful. Now, I could talk about love the entire day for days. It doesn't mean anything if it doesn't cost anything. So it's if me talking about dedication to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam make, you know, I can, if I talk about dvaikis, about connection and dvaikis, it would mean that I have to wake up every morning and daven long shemoneh esrei and think when I'm putting on tefillin what it means and think whatever it means. And in your life, it would mean whatever it means. So these things actually demand very real rubber hits the road reaction. Because I'm telling you, according to Christian theology, it's not like that. It's all on the heart. So, it's very different when you hear someone talking about emuna and it's only in the heart and it has absolutely no expression, or it doesn't necessarily have to have expression or real work and real. The Torah does. The Torah is more demanding. 613 ways. And these are, so I'm saying, sometimes it's inspirational because it's more lofty, it's more abstract, it's more ideas. It's, when you hear people talking about marriage and they talk about love and love and love and love, Lamasa, it's commitment, it's spending time, it's not doing other things, it's sacrifice. So you have to, again, so I'm just giving you a few different thoughts why it might be a better idea first to look for someone who's, you know, someone who's saturated with Torah and Musar and Mishnah, Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Torah didn't end by Tanakh. There's a tradition of 2,000 years of Yidden who lived and died on the Torah, and the Torah Shabbat enriched Torah so much. There's so much more and so much beyond that is here, and it's in front of you. You don't have to go anywhere. Lev Shemayim. Today you have it on YouTube, you have it on Torah Anytime, you have it on thousands of websites, Yiddish, good websites. So, listen, I'm not telling you that the things that are inspiring you aren't true. They are. So in many cases, they're true. But, I think two things. First of all, it could be that you're, sometimes, the grass is green on the other side. And you have to understand that we have the original, and that's Alibaba. So just stick to the original. It's not a good idea. It's always a good idea to stick to the original. I don't buy fakes, even if they're much cheaper. It's just a fake. I don't buy it. And second of all, for them, it's much easier to talk that talk because they don't have to walk the walk as much as we do. And that is evident in the fact that it was the first thing that they did, right? The first thing that they did as an institution was to get rid of that. Get rid of the actions, get rid of the mitzvahs. So back to Shavuos, where we celebrate the mitzvahs. And we celebrate the fact that we have things that Hashem gave us that would that actually force us to bring godliness into our lives, right? When we light Shabbos Lecht and you know, in your life, it's women daven to whatever extent you daven. And you learn Torah to whatever extent you learn Torah. But whatever it is, you bring Hashem into your life in a very real way, and you do physical mitzvahs that bring Hashem into your life and by actions. I think that the complete product, you're probably much better off finding by someone who is someone who got the original. So okay. That's just my personal way.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Okay, let's go to the next question. You're on.
Hi. So if I did things that I think are unforgivable, like tinsam alev or whatever, that even like they say tshuva can't make up for it, how should I like understand myself now? What should be my next step, and how can I undo it?
Chanoiza, we give you the easy questions.
That's a good question. So, first of all, you have to do a lot to deserve that status of hopelessness. And very few people in history actually attained that status. There's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin of the people who don't have a chedek to olam haba. It's a very short list. Kol Yisrael yeshlam chedek to olam haba. And even, you know, we just learned in the daf not too long ago, even people who did very, very terrible things that would cut them off from both worlds. The Gemara says, it's actually, I think we learned it in Daf Mamash a week ago. The Gemara says that Ikaris Tekaris, Avoin Abba. So Ikaris Tekaris means that this person is cut off in this world, cut off in the next world. And Avoin Abba. So the Gemara says, what does Avoin Abba mean? So the Gemara says, that is only if the person didn't do tshuva. But if the person did tshuva, then, you know, then that person doesn't get cut off. So, I've highly doubt, first of all, even if you did something that would earn you that very special status, that is only if avoin abba. And sometimes it's the laziest and it's the laziest option is to say that it's, you know, it's sometimes it's lazy and sometimes even more than lazy. It's self-pity. Yeah, I'm not talking about you. I don't know you. I'm sure you've all got, you know, Shemayim. But I'm saying sometimes the easy option is to give up, because that just takes away any responsibility. So, you know, if it's over, it's over. And now I just don't have to take responsibility for my life anymore. So no, you're not that lucky. If you woke up this morning and it's, you know, it's going to be Shavuos this week, you're standing in front of Mount Tire and Hashem is reaching out to you. And Hashem is calling out to you that you should, you know, you should do tshuva. And tshuva means that you commit to not to do what you did before. That's it. That's it. That's what tshuva means. Just commit. If you commit that you're not going to do what you did before and you're not going to do it anymore, then that's tshuva. Okay? Any fancy things that have to do with that other world, I don't know. I don't know what that means. I don't think you should focus on that. And you know what? I'll tell you that. I'll tell you something else. Think about it in a very real way. If these thoughts are more likely to encourage you to do more Torah and mitzvahs or discourage you, any thought that is going end result net, you know, it's going to discourage you from waking up and davening and waking up and being, you know, saying the next Birchas Hamazon with sincerity. Just that, just Birchas Hamazon. If whatever it is, whatever your next mitzvah is going to be, the Neir Shabbos, whatever it's going to be, if whatever thoughts of tshuva you have are more likely to discourage you, then you know that it's a bunch of garbage. There's no tshuva involved. It's laziness. It's your Yetzirah. It's whatever it is, you're being schlepped down. Now, I understand you. I think we all are there and we're all in that boat. But no, the Torah comes with a tremendous responsibility, and that is that Hashem trusts you. Think about that. You know, sometimes it's mind-boggling. You read the Torah. We spoke before about saying stories. So if you go into story time, think about Hashem. Hashem creates the world. It's so exciting. Creates Adam, the entire cosmos for Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon, 2 hours later, boom, he sinned. He sinned in a way, believe me, it's more serious than whatever you did. I don't know what you did, but it was more serious. It brought death into the world. It completely transformed the entire world, right? Hashem could have just alt, control, alt, delete. Okay. Hashem says, you know what? Give me another 5 minutes. So, a couple of kids are born. Cain and Abel. This is according to Chazal, this is all the same day. Now, you know, a couple of hours go by, and Cain kills Abel. Come on. Just reboot the program and start again. So, we have to understand that it's not like that. We have a certain perception that Hashem chose us because we're perfect, Hashem chose us because we're good, and you know, obviously no one's perfect, but you know, not as imperfect as me. Come on. I'm talking about humanity as an experiment, right? Hashem tried this experiment of humanity. They let him down twice in the first 2 minutes. When they let him down, he should have given up on the entire program. But he didn't. Hashem has faith in us. Hashem has faith in us people that even if we mess up, and even if we mess up in very serious ways, we're talking about murder, we're talking about the Chetei Tzadas, which are extremely serious. But Hashem trusts us as an entirety that we're going to figure it out. So, Hashem trusts you. Hashem gave you back your neshama this morning. Hashem trusts you with life. Hashem trusts you with this Torah. And Hashem trusts you that you're going to wake up and tune into conversation. Now, this conversation is people that are trying to be serious. And, you know, you're trying to connect. You're tuning into conversation because obviously you're trying to do something right. So, apparently, you're not as bad as you think. Or, you're not as bad, so you don't have that get out of jail free ticket. You're not gone. You have responsibility. So, this Shavuos, Hashem is reaching out to you. And Hashem is giving you the Torah. Accept the Torah. And commit to becoming a holy person. Hashem has faith in you to be a holy person. It's not absurd. It's not crazy. It's Hashem trusting you to be holy. Not just to be good, not to be fine, to be holy. And if Hashem believes in you, you believe in yourself just a little bit. And believe that you could do tshuva. Avoy nabo. You know, you'll only get cut off in this world and the next world if you hold on to it. If you let go, you know, let go. Let go. Commit to not doing whatever it was again. And return to Hashem, as you, I'm sure you're doing now. And Hashem chose you. You know.
Sometimes an avera is an avera, but the machshava connected to the avera is much worse than the avera.
So that's what all the chassidus you're about to say, right? So the Gemara says, but even like you're saying, that sometimes the hearer of the avera is the hearer after the avera, not the hearer before the avera. It's the atzvus, it's the marashchari, this is, you know, the all the chassidus talk about this. The atzvus and the marashchari of the avera is, you know, sometimes the Yetzirah just does something because he wants to bring us down. It's not the Averi so much. It's the general objective. And sometimes the smarter thing for the Yetzirah is just to tziklap a person. Just take the person's energy out of him. Take the ear out of the tires. Make the person feel terrible about themselves. And once you do that, then you just won over the people. So don't take the bait. Just don't go there.
So you're saying that if I do tshuva and I leave it, then I'm fine? Then the whole Temtum Alev concept is totally gone?
So
even if you're not doing it, it leaves the impact on you.
True. So.
And what do I do about that if I want to change?
So two things. First of all, you can't have everything in this world. So the first thing is you have redemption, you have salvation, you have tshuva, you have the Hashem accepts you, and you could do it. Now, Temtum Alev, again, if it's you're an adult. You have to take responsibility for your actions. I'm talking to you just because it's much easier to yell at you than to yell at myself. But we're all in the same boat. And we all did things that we regret terribly. And we all engaged in behavior that schlep us down every day. And these are, you have to deal with it. And by making a commitment and not engaging, not falling again, and trying your best of your abilities to bring holiness into your life. You know, the pasuk says, "Viskadishtem bisem kedoshim." The Baal HaTanya says, "Viskadishtem bisem kedoshim" means you have to be holy. If you're holy now, you're not a holy person. We try. Viskadishtem, if you work on yourself to be holy, bisem kedoshim, then min hashemayim, they make you holy. So you can't get rid of that temptum alev. I'm sorry. Now neither could I, neither could, I'm sure, anyone here. If there's anything we could do is maybe to erase some of the things that we saw, maybe to some of the things we heard, some of the behavior we engaged in. You know, that we all want to get rid of that, but we have to take responsibility for it. But if we do proactive, if we bring kedusha in our life in a positive way, then we daven visim kedushim. Then the Torah sort of gives us a promise, visim kedushim, that you will be holy. It might not take a day, it might not take a week, but it's commitment, it's the long run, and hopefully you and I and all of us will be zoch, the families become, you know, kedoshim and become other people, but it's a process. It doesn't happen in a day.
Somebody just texted, what's Temtum Alev? Just to teach you, Temtum Alev means impurity of the heart.
Your heart is completely closed, and you know, it doesn't, you know, you can't daven. It's hard to daven sometimes. It's hard to feel Yiddishkeit. It's hard, sometimes, and that's the worst. You learn Tanya especially, and it's just a good idea for anyone to learn Tanya. Tanya it's unbelievable. It's mammoth. But the Tanya, Perichav Tes, and all, it's a very central part of Tanya that even though the Temtum Alev is sometimes the hardest thing to deal with because you want to be good, but then your heart is just closed and sealed. And, you know, you feel like your heart is like a rock. It's completely, nothing goes in, nothing comes out. It's not easy, but you push through it. And, hopefully, you know, like Kotzke Rebbe says, V'hoya advarim ha'ele alav avchem. That the Torah should be on your heart. Kotzke Rebbe says, it doesn't say in your heart, it says on your heart. Because you have to just let the Torah drip on your heart, slowly but surely, even though it doesn't go in, even though you don't feel it, you do it again, it's a repetitive action, you do it again, and slowly, when your heart opens, everything will go in. And, you know, it's like losing weight. You know, someone's on a diet, no one tells them for a half a year that they lost weight. 1 week later, it goes into mismanagement, everyone comes like, what happened? No, because you don't see it right away. These things don't happen in a day. So you do, it's repetitive action, and then suddenly when your heart opens, it all goes in.
Moise, very, very good. I just want to add, sometimes we think the way we understand. It's like this person says, okay, I did something wrong. We know the idea of Temtum Alev. And the way we understand it, and we shut down, and we believe, okay, it's over. But let's think for a minute. Number one, like you said, maybe it's the Yetzirah just trying to make sure you don't continue. That's number one. But if you really understand what something wrong does, then you should also understand what something good does. Did you ever do a mitzvah and walk around with that, wow, you know, Baruch Hashem, and I'm connected, and I feel the Kedusha? Why not? Why do you understand Temtum Alev better than Kedusha? Why is that? Where do you get that from? Which school did you pick it up from? I'm not taking away the idea of Temtum Alev. But if you understand Temtum Alev, because you say, okay, I understand that, and I understand that it's real, and it's closed, and I cannot continue, Whoa. Let's see some, let me hear some positives. If you only see negative, then it's the Yetzirah. Now again, I'm not saying there's no Tumah Lev, but just to see how we take it the way we understand it, and we walk around, okay, it's over, it's not gonna work for me anymore, I know what I did. Really?
You think you is there Reb Nachman that's, you know, MBD has the song of Shalat Taken. You look in Reb Nachman inside, that's mamish what you're saying, Nachman. That's what Reb Nachman's saying, right? And it comes from a very interesting place. Reb Nachman says like this, if you believe, some people don't believe that they're in control of their actions. So they don't believe that they can do something. Reb Nachman says like this, im atamamin, right? If you believe, if you're in the belief system, that you have the power to cause destruction. Now, not everyone believes that. But if you believe that you have the control, and you have the power to destroy, then based on your own perception, you should accept that you could, it should come from the same place. It's much like you said.
Basically, you're saying if you believe in the system, you have to believe how the whole system works. You can't believe
it. Not only the negative, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so before the next question, V'yal kulam elokai slichos slach. Wrong Yom Tov, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay.
How you feeling? You
mevakshim. Listen, we're all mevakshim. We want to become
close to Hashem.
Exactly.
We're doing Moshe, how you feeling?
We're doing gevaldik. We're doing gevaldik. Okay. Keep on going.
Oh, next question, you're on.
My question is, as a woman, we're always taught that we're more connected and we don't need Limud Torah in order to connect to Hashem in that way. And while I understand where it could be coming from and what it means, but Baruch Hashem, as a married woman with children, lemaisa on a day-to-day basis, it doesn't play out like that. Like, at the end of the day, we're the ones who have to give over that love of Yiddishkeit and the brand to our children. But what we're involved with every day is so mundane and so just physically tiring, and like there's no room for that brain space and that connection. And then at the end of the day, you do feel more connected when once in a blue moon you could go to shul or you could hear a share. So how is a woman supposed to take us down practically to actually implement it for Shavuos?
That is the question of all questions. For 50% of our population, that unfortunately so you couldn't have asked the question better. And I don't have any good answers for you, but let's think about it together. First of all, okay. I don't think that those words, it never resonated with me, these words that women are connected enough without it. I think it was just made to feel, you know, I don't think you should take that as an answer. I think it's a cheap answer that I think it's a cop out, really. So I don't accept that answer. That women are more connected. It's true, but that's not where it's at. Look. I'm gonna go all the way to the extreme now, okay? Based on what we said before, someone comes into the Beis HaMikdash, and a Kohen walks over to him, and here you have a guy that's sitting and learning the whole day. And he comes and he brings a Karm, and a Kohen comes to him, and the Kohen starts crying. He says, you know what I do the whole day? I spritz blood. I shecht animals. I check wood, beams, logs for worms in them. I don't feel like I have any, and I light candles in the menorah, I do ketores, there's no avodas Hashem in my life. It's pathetic. Because that is the avodah. V'hashav is avodah levir b'secha. The avodah isn't lofty, the avodah isn't theoretical, the avodah isn't, Churchill said, I'm gonna mess this up, but in no society is there ever a better investment than putting milk in baby's bottles, something like that. You have to understand like this. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is a bris with Klal Yisrael. He has a relationship, not with this person, not with that person. The Rebbeinu Shlomo has a relationship with the people. Okay, now the people are need to function as a people. So when it's like the Mora that spoke before, the foundational work is where it's at. That's the avoid in the Beis Hamikdash. The someone that could learn and all these things are fine avoid. Now let me talk for a second because I know I'm not helping you. Just give me a second. The first thing you have to know is, and I know you heard this, and I know you know this, but you have to know that just in, by definition, what's the entire system is being upheld by the infrastructure, by the kids that are said Shematu, by they're woken up to with Moida Ani. That's where it's at. That is, the entire system is relying on that. And if we don't have that, there is no Yiddishkeit. So, this is something that I think we need to talk about in length. So maybe we'll talk about it in a couple of minutes. But there are two ways of looking at it. You can look at it like you have, okay. First, let me tell you, you're right. Okay. Let me just go back. Whatever I said, Lamasa, you're right. And I think for your sake, you should try to get inspiration while you're doing whatever you're doing. It's just a good idea to get it, to listen to the shiur. You know, there's so many outlets today. You have Torah Anytime, you have YouTube, you have whatever. I don't know whatever venue you use, Kabbalah, whatever it is. There are so many venues. While you do whatever it is, if you have the capacity and the space, just do yourself a favor, because sometimes we do need that extra inspiration. We need that extra gasoline. We need it. But don't confuse, that isn't where you're coming to Shavuos. You're coming to Shavuos and you're telling Hashem, listen, I'm the one that brought you all these Eden. All these people saying, the Chazal say, there's a Medrash, that when Kal Yisrael said Ma'aseh Mishma, Hashem said, I need insurance. I need underwriters. Right? So when you get a mortgage, they ask you for Arevim, people that could underwrite. So Hashem said, I need people to underwrite this. So Kal Yisrael said, we have our children. Our children are going to be our Arevim, our future generation. So when you come to Matan Torah, you are, so in the mensual, when we all scream Nasa Manishma, and we all say we're going to do it, and Hashem says, we are our Arevim, we look back to the women's children, and we say, listen, that's something they have to take care of. So, quite literally, you come to Shavuos carrying Kal Yisrael. So, and you're doing, like I said, the work in the Beis Hamikdash is very physical work. It's shechting animals, it's spritzing blood, it's not spiritual. You know, it's spiritual. If the Kohen, you know, it's tragic almost. If a Kohen works in the Beis Hamikdash and he doesn't understand that what he's doing is cosmic, and what he's doing is what is bringing Asherah Shechinah in this world, and he is Makir of Karbanos, and the entire Klal Yisrael is living with these Karbanos, then it's just a tragedy that this Kohen is doing the Avodah. So when you do your Avodah in your home, and you're making breakfast and lunch and cheesecake for Shavuos, and
might be a soul in the carbon.
What?
Might be a mum. Might be a soul in the carbon.
Cholila, there's no mum in the carbon. Cholila v'chas. You know, I'm sure your wife's cheesecake. There's no mum in that cheesecake. So when you come to Shavuos and you did the Avodah, you washed Negevas on Hashem's children, and you said Shema with them, and you taught them brachas, and you're sitting and by the way, not only teaching them brachas, teaching them colors and shapes, and teaching them to be emotionally happy people, just teaching them to be healthy, regulated, lechtig Eden. You have to understand, when Hashem made a bris with the people, He made a bris with the people. First and foremost, a nation of people. Right? So, So the fact that so sometimes you have people who take care of infrastructure, and sometimes you have other people that take care of, you know, the esoteric and the philosophy. Fine. But you shouldn't in any way feel compromised that you're coming, you know, you have a secondary role. You don't have a secondary role. You have a foundational role. You have a central role. You're doing the actual physical avoided. And I think what's going to help you is your attitude. So you need it. You need to have that attitude. You know, I look at my mother. I mean, I'm saying this not only to give my mother a shout out, which I should, you know, but think about it. I'm just going to, because Oshi mentioned my father, my father's petir. I'm telling you, my father was nifter. He had a whole family, 11 children. I wasn't raised by my father. I was raised by my mother. Now, did she listen to Shira Torah? If she could listen to her own voice, she would look, she couldn't, you know what went on in our house? You can't imagine. I don't want to talk about the chaos because it's just not nice to whatever. But Baruch Hashem, now we're all married and we're, you know, I have one brother still in Shidduchim, so let's keep it, you know, whatever. But it was all over the place. And, you know, my mother didn't have time to go to any shiurim, and she didn't have time to go to shul, and she didn't have time to any of that. It's just waking up and feeling the sense of duty that I have children to raise, I have children, I want them to be fed, I want them to be dressed, I want them to smell like they were showered, which, you know, yeah, maybe, and just to be happy and healthy and emotionally regulated, and know that there's a Rabbanu Shalom, and know that there's a reason why they live, and that is, then everything else from that point on is extra credit. So, understand that you work at the Beis HaMikdash, you're the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. You know, everyone always says, B'soich Kalechad Ve'echad, that there's a Mishkan B'soich Kalechad Ve'echad. The Mishkan B'soich Kalechad Ve'echad is that every home is a Beis HaMikdash. That's B'dit Shavruf. So every home is a Beis HaMikdash. And you're the Kohen Gadol in your home. You're the one that lights the candles, you're the one that makes the Shulchan, you're the one that brings warmth into the house. All the things that the Kohen Gadol does in the Beis HaMikdash, you do in your home. So, take on that role, appreciate it, give yourself credit for it, and you know, it's like the point where don't knock yourself down. You don't know, go understand, come to Hashem with I don't know, with a demand, but with a straight back that, you know, you are the insurance policy. So you do so much, it's chaval that you shouldn't have the right attitude towards it. But I'll still tell you, it's a good idea to listen to something like you're doing now. So you need we all need fuel. So we need fuel to give meaning to the actions we do. But know that the actions that you do make all the difference in the world, and that is central. But it's also a good idea to take an inspiration.
Well,
I
yeah. All right,
I appreciate that, and I hear it and I understand it. I'm asking a little bit more of wanting to be able to connect to that feeling of appreciating it and feeling that pride and being able to really tap into that feeling of being connected to what I'm doing and the message of Shavuos and getting the Torah. Understanding that that's not, Yiddishkeit itself is not, it's not about the spiritual feeling. It's not about that. That's not where it's at. But it is a very important part to be able to.
True. And like, nothing, you have to say, nothing comes without, you know, putting thought into it. You have to put thought into it. So, like I said, a coin that's in the Beis HaMikdash the whole day and he doesn't put thought into it, it's just gonna have a miserable life. So you should reflect, think about it. You know, maybe theorize what Klal Yisrael would look like if all the mothers went on strike for a month. Just think about that. Just think about that for a week. And that's it. That should give you enough. Because I'm not gonna be home. So I think we all know that it's unsustainable for 5 minutes. And not only unsustainable in a, it's unsustainable at any level whatsoever. So you have to just sometimes think about the lack of it. And so yes, you do have to think about it. You have a week to Shavuos. Think about what it means for you that you raise children to be part of this relationship that they have with Hashem. Think about what it means when you sit by a Shabbos table with your children, that all these children are dressed with fresh clothing because, you know, because this whole Shabbos table happened because, you know, of your labor, your physical labor, right? So think about it when you're there. So Friday night by the Suda, just think about it. Think about how beautiful it is. Think about that 3,500 years ago, Hashem gave the Torah, and 3,500 years later, we were crucified and burnt at the stake, and we went through every single abuse possible. And we're still here, and we still have a Suda, and we're still singing Zmiris, and we're still proud that we're Jewish, and Hashem is still alive in our homes. Think about that, and you made it happen. So just appreciate that when you see it. And then come to Shavuos and say, Hashem, I gave you the Shabbos table. I gave you not the Shavuos table, I gave you a Shabbos table. I gave you a supper where everyone made a bracha, and some of them made alamechia, not all of them, because you only remember to remind some of them. And they were happy, and they went to cheder, you know, some of them kvetched, some of them didn't. But it's a happy Jewish home, and this is what you give, and as much thought as you put into it, that's how much you're going to carry within yourself. But yeah, you have to do the work. We all have to. If you put on tefillin and tzitzis and daven and you don't think about it, then it's not going to be with you. So we have to do the actions, but we have to think, you have to really do some work in reflecting of the meaning in what you're doing. And that's going to, I think that's going to help you tremendously.
Okay, next question. You're on.
Okay. Hi. Thank you. I wanted to know, how can you make Shavuos meaningful as a single girl?
Look, I don't know why, meaning I understand, let me not first deny your question. You caught me off guard. But I think as much as, listen, I think every Yid that Hashem chose and lives in this world and reflects the relationship that Hashem has with this world fulfills the bris that Hashem has with them. So Hashem spoke to you and He gave you the Torah. And He told you that you're living in a mundane world. And you can live in a mundane world and live a mundane life and give in to whatever, you know, the hardships, and let yourself get slapped down and you let yourself be beaten down. And you choose to live an upstanding life. And start your day with davening, and start your day with a relationship with Rabbanu Shalom, and lead your life in a way that Hashem is reflected in your actions, Hashem is reflected in your thoughts, and it's just part of your life. And that is really ultimately where you know, that is a mitzvah Hashem. Hopefully, it's not a situation that's going to stay. Hashem shall help. You should find the zivuk, the karev, and you should be zoichet to. That this should extend, you know, you could, beyond the confines of your own being. But even for the time being, every single person that stands by Har Sinai and that says Na'aseh v'Nishma and that does the mitzvahs, Hashem is reflected in his actions. And like Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, that when someone's going to look at you and they're going to say, who is this person that has such gevaldig beautiful mitzvahs? So if you live your life in a way that Hashem is reflected in your actions and He's reflected in your life, then you're fulfilling your role in this world. And that is what you stand. Shavuos is where you thank Hashem for the meaning that you have in day to day life. The meaning, the meaning beyond just waking up and going to sleep and beginning and ending with you. So there's something more spiritually meaningful about your life. And again, a mitzvah Hashem, obviously there's meaning for this specific time frame. And that is that if you do the mitzvahs and Hashem is reflected on that, then that is, you are a Mamleches Kahan of the good Kodesh, and you're chosen for that, and that is your Shavuos. And Emet Hashem, hopefully, will be zoicha to extend beyond that.
The same paradigm shift that you're bringing with Torah, sitting and learning all day, is the right thing, and then the women have questions, how do I connect? This paradigm shift can be done with the single girls or single boys, because in our world, we think, okay, the tachlis is to get married, which it is, but then there's no tachlis for them, but that's not true. It's also a change of understanding. This is where I am now, and this is where I need to be now. And that doesn't mean I'm second class, you know. It's also part of our culture that only if you're married, then we can talk to you. If you're not married, you're not around. So it needs a lot of thought.
100%.
Wait a sec. Okay, let's go to the next live question. You're on.
Hi, Rabbi. I don't know if that's your last name.
Gil Taylor,
how are you? Very fine listening to you speak or articulate. Speak incredibly well. Talking to me. I want to ask you, hey, Shalom Bros, I would follow up by saying, so how does a guy who's single many, many years come into Matan Torah with the right approach?
So again, I think Menachem just said it very well. We have to, we have so much of our system. We speak about the ideal, you know, we speak about the situation in which, you know, about families and the next generation. But every person, the Asher Husham, has a relationship with Eibishter. Avraham Avinu, for the first, I don't know how many years, it had nothing to do with having children, had nothing to do with anything. It was Mekadosh Shem Shemayim by his mere existence. and by reflecting in a world that is so, sometimes so at odds with the morality of the Torah. By just living his life and by just living an upstanding ethical moral life and a Torah digger life, he was chosen, right? Hashem told him, Lech lecha me'aretzecha, and you know, he didn't yet have a family. And so I think that, again, like we spoke with the woman before, the idea is that you come to Matan Torah and you tell Hashem that you accept the Torah to transform your life. And you can do the mitzvahs in a way that's going to transform your life and make you closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because you have to understand, the mitzvahs isn't only to perpetuate to the next, the Torah talks to people, to them, right? The Torah tells you the do's and don'ts for you. The Torah tells you, the 613 mitzvahs are all personal. And so when you come to Mount Torah, Hashem is telling you, I'm giving you 613 ways how you can connect to me. So you're lost in the world, you're lost, we're all lost. And we all don't find our meaning, and we all try to hang on to different things. But we all understand that the ultimate meaning that we have in the world is how much we connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and how much we elevate ourselves, and how much we get out of the rut of this world, and how much we become more godlike. And that is what we have the mitzvahs for, and that's what.
So I have a question. So ultimately, what you're saying is that we have the structure in place, that we have the mitzvahs, we have prayer, etc. And Lamaisa, a person just utilize that every part of his life, which is applied to who he is as a person, whether on either side, avada, the schus, the spirituality will ultimately reform that person's being close into the Irish ship.
1,000%. You couldn't have said
that. I do want to ask you one question just very quickly. Someone asked before about being like Ravera, you know that by Pare, right? Pare, time, Kudravahim, and his head rolls in the Maras Makbel. Maras Sukkot talks about this. The point here is when you are you're in the situation where it's very tough and you want to know, like, how do you navigate? Someone said before that you're single, you're a long time. Let me ask you, are you saying that you're supposed to separate the spirituality from Yiddishkeit itself? You said before that it's Yiddishkeit, the way of life.
Chas v'sholom, Yiddishkeit is the way of life, is a spiritual way of life. It's through the mundane, it's through the day-to-day actions. Maybe I wasn't clear, but obviously we are super spiritual. That is our idea, but the way we express our spirituality is not in talk, it's in action. It's in the way we live, it's in the way we conduct ourselves. It's, if someone is spiritual and then they cheat someone in business, then I don't care how long Shimon Esther takes, he's a corrupt human being. So it's the way our spirituality manifests itself in our life is how connected we are. So we want to be spiritual. That's why we start every day with davening. We start every day with connecting to Hashem and putting on tefillin and reflecting on what we're doing in this world and what our purpose is. And our purpose is to be mekadoshim shemayim, and our purpose is to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and our purpose is to live a ruchni is the life and bring the Shechina into this world, right? The Shechina.
So you're saying that the actual, that the spirituality, the essence of the neshama, actually comes, it's supposed to be integrated into your mind and allow itself to be utilized, a utilized weapon to actually help the person not just grow as a human, but also to remember that it's connected to Yiddishkeit. That's the whole purpose. Carrying all this in with you is supposed to be, as I said, integrated, it should be embedded in who you are as a person, and ultimately it should manifest itself as a yid, Baba Tufan, Baba Muna. You're being, submerged from one body into another. That's Yiddishkeit. That's really how it goes. Not picking it off a tree. When I want to do a mitzvah or this, really, it's really, it's collaborative of how you're merging it with the person himself.
Yeah, I think you could take me over here. You're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we have a question that came in and, just another angle, but you're saying good. Ma'asavet kluder. We have to sit and talk about this because it's so important. The question that came in is, I always dreamt my husband would be deeply connected to learning. He does go through the motions, but it doesn't feel real. I feel let down. Am I wrong for feeling this way? And where does that leave me in all of this?
Okay, first of all, I'm not a coach. And this is a question for a coach. That's the first thing. But before we kick the, you know, the ball back into Coach Menachem's territory. Okay, again, so what was the question? The question was that she thought, she dreamt.
He had a shkofes.
That her husband is gonna be connected. And he goes through the motions, but it doesn't feel real. And she's let down. Is she wrong for feeling let down? And where does it leave her? Okay, so listen. I'm not qualified to answer this, but that's not gonna stop me.
This doesn't.
So let's talk about this. There are multiple questions here. Mamish, a few unrelated questions. I wouldn't say unrelated, but Mamish, very different questions. One is she wrong for feeling let down? Two is, where is she in all this? So first of all, let's answer all the way the last question. Where are you in all this? Lav dafke, I don't know if you're tethered to his connection. Meaning, in certain ways you are. I'm not disrespecting that. But you have to understand that you're your own person. You have your own davening. You have your own relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. You have your own Matan Torah. And so you're your own person. And anything that has to do with you personally is it's not like for your destiny, for your Chedek L'Olam Haba, you need him to be connected. It's not like that. No, you don't. You need to do what you need to do. Every person, you know, you do what you need to do. You put in the work, and you, that's how much connection you have. That's how much, so that's first of all. Look. This is what I think about the crux of the issue. I'm going to be very judgmental. Just because I don't know who the person asking is. There's a person, look, I don't know why he doesn't feel connection. A lot of us don't feel connection. But besides for his yes and not feeling connection, there's a lot of zich in this. I'm being very offensive here. Just because this is not a real person's machai, it's very good that this person didn't ask this question live because I wouldn't be, okay, so here, look. You came with dreams, and he's not living up to your dreams. That can't happen. You have to be realistic, and you're on fear, because you're imposing your dream on someone else, and that's just not fear. So I think, let me explore this another. We have this idea in the Gemara. You have Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the ultimate case study for this subject. Now, Coach Menachem will tell you, I can't tell this to you because I'm not a coach, you can't change people. It's not going to work. You're not going to go to a person and change them. You can't change people. It doesn't work like that. And as much as you're going to want to change him, and as much as you're going to want to make him true to your dreams because you're not going to want to be let down, it's not going to go just the opposite. You're going to chase him away so far, because you have this idea where you want him to be, and you, for your meaning, and your idea, and for your whatever, you want him to look a certain way. Stop thinking about yourself so much. Rachel, think about what Rachel, Eishes Reb Akiva, now, she is the one who actually brought her husband to that place, right? So she's the wife of Reb Akiva, just imagine. And she's the one that gets all the credit, obviously, rightfully so. But look at what she didn't have any expectations at all. She married someone who she knew was sincere, and that was absolutely it. He didn't have anything beyond sincerity. And she didn't have any dreams of where she wants him to be. She let him go on his journey and find himself. And he found himself. And ultimately, by her love and by her support and by Emma's being on one page. Now, think about what Rachel gave up. But think about the amount of sacrifice in her life. She had zero ego. She had zero zich. 24 years her husband wasn't home. She gave everything away. She grew up with riches. She gave everything away. She didn't have COVID. So I'm assuming that when you come with that amount of dreams, you're coming with a whole lot. That is not the way Rabbi Akiva is born. Rabbi Akiva is born through love, through mutual understanding, through mutual trust, through a place where you sit down and say, listen, I don't care about myself. I don't care about who I am. This has nothing to do with me. You, why are you not connected? Truly, if you truly care about his connection, not for your own sake, not that for the family picture you married a Talmud Chacham, not for any of that, just for your own, just for his sake, because you want him to be connected for your kid's sake, for your family's sake, for your husband's sake. You want him to be connected and you sit down with him and you talk about it. And you talk about it from a non-judgmental angle. And you talk about it from an accepting place. And a truly accepting place. And you give him the space to grow, to make mistakes, to do nanashkaiten, to go his own detours and to go his own path. But if you give him support, and again, obviously, you have your own relationship with Rabbanu Shalom, you have your own connection, you don't need him for your connection. Ultimately, if you're on one page and everything else, okay, let's just assume for 1 minute that you guys have a good relationship, you have good communication, you love each other, you support each other. Everything else, I assume very much that if you give him the place, he'll grow. It might not happen in a day, but his connection will come from is going to be his own. Because you know what? Let me give you the alternative. The alternative is that he goes to the coil that you want him to go to. Okay? Hashem shall help you. It shall never happen. Okay? You don't want it to go there. So you let him find it on his own. Give him the backbone. Give him the trust and the love to let this grow, to let this grow by itself. And I think ultimately that is, he might not be Rabbi Akiva. Again, no one else is Rabbi Akiva. So, but he might be his own Rabbi Akiva. And you'll be happy. That's the main thing. You'll be happy because you let go. You let go of all these narashkait and you let go of all these fantasies. And then he'll find his real connection. And you know what? His real connection might look very different than what you thought. That's life. So, Coach Menachem, what do you have to say?
Wow. Yeah. This itself, we're talking about Shalom Bayis, not discussing Shalom Bayis tonight, but anybody out there that feels like my avodas Hashem is not working out because of my spouse. So, you know, step number one, we say, you know, it's hard. I understand you. You know? But ultimately, this is your avodas Hashem. We're discussing what's my avodas Hashem? Very clear. But I don't like it. Hashem, why are you giving me this avodah? I want a different avodah. Then it becomes real. The conversation with Hashem becomes real. Hashem, what's going on? Oh, talk to him. But this is a Shalom Bayis concept. You know, nobody has my spouse is exactly perfect, understands 100%. And this, wherever you are, this is exactly where you need to be. And if you feel that's a challenge, and this is where Hashem wants you to be, whether you're in the Beis Hamikdash being Karbonus, the man learning and you don't feel connected, the women at home, not sure how to connect. We're learning that, you know, what are we looking for? We're looking for Avodas Hashem to connect to Hashem. What does Hashem want from me now? And if you're in a challenge, you're trying to figure it out, exactly. That's where Hashem wants you to be now and to figure it out and connect to Him. So yeah, Shkoyach, very powerful. Usher, on mute if you want to say a
question. Let's just go to one more last live question, then we'll go to the closing segment, okay? Okay, you're on.
Okay, thank you. So we were talking before about teshuvah, so I wanted to know, like, how it works. Like, when someone passes away after 120, and they did teshuvah, so then they don't get punished at all, or is it just less? And if, let's say, someone passes away right after Yom Kippur, they were just forgiven. Also, like,
they don't get punished for any averus that they did.
Did you diet?
What? No.
Are you still alive?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we have to think about this? Listen, these are very heavy questions, but I was scared for a second that I'm getting that question from the other world. Because I'll tell you the truth. It's not really part of my day to day. I try to focus on, I'll tell you the truth. I don't really know. I wouldn't say I don't care, but I don't know. There's a whole system over there that I don't, again, everything, whatever answer you're going to answer could be good. There's a whole sefer of the Ramban on this subject, Charagmul. The Ramban, there's a very controversial Rambam on this subject. There's a lot of, we could talk about this for days and days, but I think ultimately it has very, very little to do with our Avodas Hashem as, today. Because today, we know what we need to do. We know, I think ultimately we know the do's and don'ts. We know what's incumbent upon us. And, so I think it's just a distraction. So, Judas, I don't think about it much, so I can't really answer that question.
Okay, one second. Okay, 1 second. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm throwing a few more at you.
Go ahead.
Okay, hi, sorry, Ron.
Hi, I'm sorry, I missed the first, you sound very interesting. I'm sorry I missed the first half. I had to run to it for the Nishe event. But I did have a question about, Shavuos, that, time in Matan Torah saying when you're supposed to be renewed, but I just feel very cynical now toward life. I don't know how you reclaim a certain innocence that, I enjoy the holiday, don't get me wrong. I mean, I look forward to a certain level, and it's also maybe just because I enjoy, the summer and the counting of the sphera, but maybe the events of the world or the, just the daily problems in life, but I, or things about my background, I feel it's not like I can just dance around the room or it's kind of a feeling. It's, how do you reclaim a certain innocence, I think, when celebrating Mountain Taurus? Just to be like I don't say to be like a child again. I always envied the children for their innocence, the from children, the ones that are maybe a little bit more sheltered. I mean, how do you reclaim that or kind of feeling?
So it seems that you have a very, broad, it looks like you're taking in a lot, right? So you're, it seems like your Shavuos is not only personal to you, it's collective. And you have, I could see in your Shavuos, October 7th, and everything, and COVID probably also. They're all dancing around in your Shavuos. Yeah, so that's very intense.
Yeah,
so you're carrying, you're definitely, so what I would tell you is like this. If you broaden your scope that much, don't stop your Zoom by 2019. Zoom out another 2,000 years. So instead of only taking in October 7th and COVID, take in the Shoah, the Inquisition, and everything that we went through, the Crusades, 5 of them, okay? Taking all of them. Mm-hmm. And look at Mount Torah in the scope of all that and see yourself, see Khmelnytsky and Hitler and Stalin and all the popes and all these people, see them all and see how far they went that you should let go. What did they do that you shouldn't be here and celebrate Matan Torah? They invested so much time and money and power and greed and whatever it is. And they built entire institutions that we shouldn't be here talking about Shavuos. So I don't think it has to come from innocence. So some people, their Shavuos can come from innocence. Mm-hmm. I think your Shavuos should come from rebellion. And I think if you have a sense of history, some people don't look at it the way you look. You have a very broad scope. Some people look at it from a very personal perspective, but you look at it from a very broad perspective. So from your perspective, I think that you should feel empowered by the fact that you're the last man standing, you're the last woman standing. You're here, they're not here anymore. Right? There's a famous story of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in Rome by the Arch of Titus, right? So there's the arch that by the triumph.
Kol Halashon.
Titus made, then he won the war. So you have the menorah, right? You have that famous arch of Titus. So Rechaim Shmulevitz was Ponov Zhirov. Ponov Zhirov was in Rome. He asked his taxi driver to drive him, and he said, Titus, Vibus, where are you? I'm here. Right? So when we come to Mount Tabor and we, you know, you see October 7th and you see COVID and you see all the pain and all the anguish and all the personal ups and downs and all the collective national ups and downs, yeah. And you realize that we as a people, now it's not you, it didn't start by you and it's not going to end by you. No. This is your parents, this is your grandparents, these are people all over the entire, these are the children, the grandchildren, these are all people from all around the world. It's a story that extends way beyond you, and we've been through all that, and we're still here. And we still, despite that, we're still accepting the Torah, and as many people that tried to get us away from it, it's not gonna help them. We're here, we're proud, we're not going anywhere. So, I would encourage your Shavuos, you know, as much as you enjoy the cherry blossoms and the spring and the summer, you should have a little spite and a little anger and a little rebellion in that Shavuos. And that might help you.
Still here, yeah, it's true. Like,
that's right. The clock, stick it to them.
Still here, yeah, bro. Thank you.
Yeah, for real, the last question of the night. Here we go. And then we'll go to the closing part. Hi, how are you?
What's up?
Hi.
I
have a question regarding the way I do Yiddishkeit. So like this. So Yiddishkeit for me is a beautiful way of life. It's very convenient, if I may say. Like, it's beautiful. It's the children listen and the... I mean, say, like, the layout of the Torah is a beautiful way of life for me. I mean, say, the children ought to listen to the parents. And you look at the Goyish world, the more you see how lucky we are to have, like, a direction to follow. So even with technology, that's where I felt it the most, that Yiddishkeit is convenient. Now, I'm having a problem. I want to know if it's okay to do Yiddishkeit and to run my home from this kind of mindset. Because when it comes to the big, deep ideas like Hashem and Olam Haba, those things, they're so far, like, it's very, very hard for me to believe in these basic, based in these deep stuff. Like, I don't see it openly. I don't know. And I sometimes have this fear. Like, I do. I talk about Hashem to my children. I talk about nature, how beautiful Hashem's world is. But Lamaisa, This week, Pirkei Avos is talking about Olam Haba. I'm like, hey, where does Olam Haba come from? Like, how do we even know that? But then I love Yiddishkeit. So here I feel like I'm in a hard place. Is it okay to run my home? Am I giving it over enough? Get my question?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's a very good question. I actually have to think. So you have to give me a minute. So a few things. First of all, there's a Rambam. The Rambam in Nevuchim says a fascinating thing. He says that people have a tendency to think that the Torah is the function of the mitzvahs of the Torah. People have a tendency to think that they are, that you can't explain them. You can't understand, you can't fathom. And if there's any obvious positive result of mitzvahs, then that can't be the action, because that's something that I would have said, right? Hashem must say something much more sophisticated. So the Rambam calls this chodeh nefesh. Chodeh nefesh means a disease of the soul. Right? The Rambam sees this as ridiculous and absurd, because the Rambam says that just the opposite. You know, why can't you accept that the positive life that you observe, people that live Torah, that is actually what the Torah, you know, why the Torah was given. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu says that when people are going to see the Yidden live Torah life, they're going to say, who are these people that have such gewaltig mitzvahs that make so much sense that, you know, that creates such a society? So when you look around and you say that the Torah life is convenient and beautiful, that is what we've been davening for. We've been davening for that Yiddishkeit should be actually a life that we appreciate, and we see the result of living a life of meaning, living a life of purpose, living a life with normal guidelines, not a free-for-all. My grandfather Torsky always says, Rav Michal Torsky from Milwaukee, he said it from, I don't remember who he said it from, some big violinist, that he said that the strings on my violin, when they're not tied down, when they're free, then they might be free to, they might be free to move around, but they're not free to sing. But when I tie them down to my violin, they might not be free to move around, but now they're free to sing. So when you appreciate that, you appreciate the fact that Klal Yisrael might be tied down, so we have our restrictions all over the place, but being tied down creates a society that sings. And, sometimes some people perceive the Torah mitzvahs as restricting and as difficult and schlepping who knows what. No, you have actually a very beautiful attitude, and that the Torah ties us down and makes us free to sing, and that's how we have a society that doesn't have all these, many of the dysfunctions and, you know, the diseases and sicknesses morally, ethically, socially, physically than the entire world. And that's a beautiful thing. So first of all, no. When you see the Torah and you see the beauty of it, that's absolutely beautiful. And it should make you very excited to be a Yid. Now, I don't know if you have to think about, you know, Olam Haba is something that you believe in. I don't know how much you have to think about it. Some people think about it more. Some people think about it less. I don't know. It's not something, I don't know. But the question really boils down to it is that when Yiddishkeit is difficult and when you don't see the beauty and when you're tested, what goes on then? That's where the rubber is the road. So if you have the commitment and the belief and the trust in the Torah and in Hashem and in Chazal and in the Tzaddikim, then that even when, you know, you might not see right away the result of maybe something that's restricting you or something that's not convenient for you, or sometimes you don't understand Hashem's relationship with the world, and we all grapple with these things. But if you have the humility and you have the faith to submit to Hashem's will, even when you don't understand and even when you don't see the beauty, then that is probably, you know, the most beautiful way to go through the world, to appreciate. My grandmother, my wife's grandmother, and her name was Mary Kafta, I don't know, yeah? But she embodied that to me. She just loved every day of her life. She loved every bit of Yiddishkeit. There's no, you know, you didn't feel any sacrifice. Nothing was just, since Geschmack is on Ayid, it's just so beautiful. Everything was beautiful. Everything was gewaltig. Everything was gorgeous. Everything's muddy. And that's a beautiful, and everyone around such people wants to be a Yid. You know, you just enjoy it. Sometimes you meet people and they have a negative output. They have a negative attitude. They feel schlepped down by Yiddishkeit. The whole day they'll talk about what that person does and what that person does and where they couldn't go. You have the most healthy attitude to Yiddishkeit. It's just beautiful. It's gorgeous. Now, naturally, you know, Voltaire, I think, was the one who says this, that empires are built with wooden clogs going up and velvet slippers descending. Right, there's a certain idea that rough people create an empire, and then a good, healthy empire creates comfortable people. Comfortable people create, you know, just weak people, and then that leads to the downfall, and the downfall again goes in cycles, and it's gonna, you know, hard times, whatever. You get what I'm saying? So, unfortunately, that's the trap that we have to make sure we don't fall into. Yes, we are comfortable, Baruch Hashem. We don't have Stalin, we don't have Hitler, we don't have any of these monsters. And we have to appreciate that. We have to thank Hashem for that. And we're in a position where we can thank Hashem for the beauty of Yiddishkeit in our life. And we have Gedolim that built up Yiddishkeit after America, that we should be able to appreciate it that way. Now, if we take it for granted, then we're not going to have it for too much longer. So hopefully we don't take it for granted. And when in our personal lives, we feel challenged and we feel sometimes that we need to have some we face adversity. So you have to make sure that, you know, that's the test, because that's really where it's at. So I don't think you should feel guilty for being happy to be a Yid. I wish everyone would be like that. And I'm sure the people around you, you're making the people around you happy to be Yid Shoso. So keep it up. But when it comes to a difficult time, that is really where not only your Yiddishkeit is tested, the entire home, everything is, that's where it's at. So make sure that you strengthen the infrastructure of your Yiddishkeit day to day, that, you know, you shouldn't be tested, but everyone has their downs, that you should persevere in a down also.
Man, shkoyach. Okay, let's go to the closing part. Chaim Moizig tonight was gewaldig. Really appreciate it. Okay. So first of all, gracious shkoyach to Chaim Moizig Geldfeder for coming on tonight. Shwin's chizik for the covered Yom Tov Shuas. I think we covered a lot more than we expected to cover, and it was a tremendous shir. Shem will come back again with more chizik tonight's shir. It's a shir for Yom Tov, Shem and Reza, the first time every Sunday night at 9 PM on the Zoom ID. We have different shirim, different rabbanim, different topics. And Hashem, next Sunday will be Erev Shuas. Hashem, have a beautiful Yom Tov. Enjoy the cheesecake. Enjoy the Yom Tov. And the following show will be June 8th with Dicker Bettinger. It's titled One Inside Away: How a Simple Shift in Understanding Can Dissolve Stress, Bring Clarity, and Transform the Way You Experience Life. It should be a very powerful program. Please join us on Hashem the week after Shuas. Everything's recorded at SamanachamRevel.com. If anybody has any questions, you can email CoachManachem@gmail.com. Tonight's share is 232. It will be recorded. It'll be on all the on YouTube and all the podcasts and all the channels, and also it could be on the phone line at 732-305-9011, 732-305-9011. And thank you to all the advertising sponsors, Lakewood Scoop here in Lakewood, and Ellie and Ariel from Five Town Central, Chayla Comfort from JCN. And now we're going to go to the closing segment. I'll say a few words, Menachem, and then Chaim Moizig will wrap it up. So, Tzarev Yantiv, Shuas. Chaim Moizig brought down a big issue at the end of the day. A lot of people ask this question, Shuas. I don't connect to the Torah. I'm not man into learning. I do daf yomi. I do this. Shuas is the yontif of not, that's one of the mitzvahs of Shuas. Shuas is a yid, all 613 mitzvahs. So everybody connects to the yontif. We have to go into that with that mindset. It's a beautiful yontif. Everybody should enjoy it with their family. Enjoy all the geschmack of it. And should really have an uplifting yontif. I'll turn over to Coach Menachem.
Go ahead. Rav Geldfeder, it's a beautiful paradigm shift. I think we sat and we discussed it, which is very important to see. Sometimes you look at something one way, but we have to ask ourselves, what are we looking for? What are we really looking for? I just want to end with the concept that sometimes we're very sophisticated and we try to figure things out. And we have these questions, Hashem, Olam Haba, Averis, Tshuva. I think we have to, you know, sometimes just go down to the basic, ask yourself a question: what does Hashem want from me now? What does he want? You know, how do I connect to him? And that's it. That's about it. What does Hashem want from me, wherever you are, whatever's going on in your life? Obviously, there's everybody has their challenges, ups and downs, but that's what we're looking for. We're here for Hashem. We want to be connected to Him. We want to know Him, but we start with these cheshbonos. We don't understand why, and then we have questions, and we feel disconnected. And yeah, there could be many reasons. And for those who feel disconnected, well, you know, looking back, why, what type of relationship they have. But really going back to the basic, where am I? Hashem, what do you want from me now? And then the perspective of, if this is what you want from me, I'm good. Well, I want to be in Kollel, I want to be more hours, I want to change, if I can be like them, if they can be like me. This is where Hashem put you, this is where you need to be, and this is what Hashem wants from you. And what do we want? Be connected to Hashem. I think we have to, you know, in a way, water it down. In a way, like, just, I have to take care of my kids. I have a few minutes to learn. I daven. I work. This is what Hashem wants from me. Thank you, Hashem. Talk to Hashem. Connect to Hashem. And Mitzvah Hashem, we should all be zoicha. The connection, connecting to ourselves, being okay with where we are, which can be hard sometimes. There is a grief process, you know, we can be angry many times and that's okay. And then get to a place where Hashem, if this is where you want me to be, I'll try to be mekabel, and that's Kabbalah Satoria. And it's Hashem, we should all be zeichem.
Reb Chaim Oizer Geltzel, noch zwei Shah over here, 2 hours with Coach Menachem and the Oilam, the Choshev Oilam over here Sunday night. Instead of sitting in the pizza store or whatever, they come here to get mechazik. What do you have to say? What's the closing words? What's the closing words before the Heligay Yom Tov Shavuos?
First of all, Amamshem, I, like we started off, Oz Nidbru Yirei Hashem Isherayeu, Vayakshev Hashem Vayishma. You kept on saying it's recorded, and like we said, we started off, it's being recorded in a whole different realm. And all the conversations we had, you have to think, you know, we spoke about our Matan Torah. Think about Hashem's Matan Torah. Think about the fact that Hashem checked in with us so many years ago, gave us the Torah, and now He's checking in again, and we're still here. And we're still being mekabel the Torah. I'm sure, you know, it goes without saying that Hashem is very proud of us. And we should take that seriously. We have time for a story from Mamash, a half a minute.
On a little bit of time.
Okay, so see the Shema is like this. The story is goes to a lot what Menachem was just saying and to the point that I was trying to make. So there's a Lubavitcher Chassid, Reb Mendel Futterfass. Reb Mendel Futterfass was a Lubavitcher Chassid that was in communist Russia, and he opened, he was sent exiled to Siberia for a whole bunch of years, for 8 years, because he opened a mikveh and Talmud Torah, like very serious crimes in communist Russia. So he was in Siberia for years, and he's a real yid of emuna and chassidus and yiddishkeit, the real mesiras nefesh yid. So Zagavaldi Gemasa, he had the best stories coming out of Siberia. She said that there was he was in Siberia, and they had, there was contraband. So with certain things you were not allowed to have there. You weren't allowed to have alcohol and tobacco and cards, right? Playing cards, a deck of cards. Those are the three things that were seriously illegal. So he said that once a week, he was with the worst criminals over there in these barracks. So once a week, once a 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I don't know how often it was, they had inspection. You know, a soldier would come in and do an inspection, and he would walk out with mamish sacks full of vodka and tobacco. You can never find the cards. Fine. So it's like a long period of time goes by, and this guard that obviously knew what he was doing because he was, you know, he found all this contraband that was hidden. So this guard, he has all these people standing against the wall and undressed, obviously, you know, they all got tap downs. And he says, listen, I know you guys have cards. I'm not stupid. I know you have these cards. If you tell me, I've been searching week in, week out. I've been searching. I couldn't find them. If you tell me where it is, I'll let you keep it. Fine. So then they talk amongst themselves, and all these criminals, come to the, fine. They'll tell me where it is. So one of these chevre is a pickpocket. He walks over to this guard, to this inspector, and he takes it out of his pocket. And he says, right when you come in, we slip it into your pocket. And right before you go out, we take it out of your pocket. Because we know that you're gonna look all over. Wherever we hide it, you're good at this. Look, you found all this vodka, you found all this tobacco, and we worked hard, you know, hiding it. So, we know the only place you're not gonna look is in your own pocket. So, when you come in, we slip it into your pocket, and then we take it out. Sometimes we think that to find Hashem, to be chosen, to be a yid, we need to do this, and we need to do the biggest things in the world. You need to go there, and if only your husband would learn, and if only you would learn better, and you would do this, and you would do that, you would be connected. If you do tshuva, you do... It's all shtosim. It's all, you know, the Yetzer Hara knew that wherever he puts Hashem, the yid is going to find him. He put Hashem in the yid's own pocket. We're busy looking in the entire world, and that's why we're not finding him. So all you don't have to do anything. You have to sit down with yourself, self-reflection, and you say, you know, if you're in of it or you're out of it, listen, you're going to be as much in of it as you want to. it takes responsibility. It takes, you know, you're an adult. You're responsible for your actions. So sit down, you have a week to Shavuos, and think about what Yiddishkeit means to you. You don't have to do anything. Now, eventually, it demands real action from you, a real reaction from you. You know, to be a Yid means something. But to be part of Matan Torah, to be chosen, Hashem is choosing you. Hashem is choosing you, that's a fact. Hashem is choosing you to carry His name. Hashem is choosing you to, Hashem wants to make a relationship with you. All you need to do is recognize it. Recognize the fact that Hashem is in your back pocket. Hashem is in your heart. You don't have to go anywhere. You have to open your heart and realize that Hashem is already there. And once you appreciate that and you understand that, and you let that, you know, express itself, then finished. Then you're there. You have all the pieces are in place. The only thing you need is, you need to be aware. So, hopefully, what we demonstrated today is that Matan Torah is about a relationship with the Rebbeinu Shebaalem. And that is about being chosen to represent Hashem in this world through your actions, through your day-to-day, through your Shabbos table, through your cheesecake, through your learning, through your davening, through your tzedakah, through doing a favor to someone else. All these things bring the Shekhinah down to this world. When a Yid acts the way he does, and he lives a life of Torah, and he lives a life of Yiddishkeit, and he lives a life saturated with meaning and Torah, then that's it. You've reached your destination. Appreciate it. Open your eyes. You are the Yid. You are the person Hashem chose. You are it. It's like the coin in the Beis Hamikdash the whole day worrying and making cheshbonos. Open your eyes and understand that you are it. And as much as you understand it and as much as you appreciate it, that's as much meaning your Shavuos is going to have. So do yourself a favor and don't run away. Just open yourself. Open yourself. Be aware of the fact that Hashem is choosing you. Be aware of the fact that how happy you are and grateful you are that you are a Yid, that you have a Torah, and that you have a relationship, and you have a Shabbos Kodesh. You have it. You could come home and it smells like Shabbos, and the only thing you want to do is just you want it to be Shabbos, right? That's you come on Friday night. All you want it, you just want it to be Shabbos. Right? So, appreciate that. Dance on Shavuos that Hashem chose you to be part of that, and don't let it stay there. Develop it. Develop it further. And Hashem, next time we come back, and because I feel like I have to do justice, I have to stickle through a wrench on the whole thing. Because ultimately, Torah is the ultimate way to connect to the Rebbeinu Shelolam. So, to come full circle, yes, Shavuos is about connecting, Shavuos is about being chosen. A Yid cannot connect to the Eibishter more than by learning Torah. So, I just want to mention it, because it's something we need to explore in great length. But, Shavuos, we got 613 mitzvahs. It's v'chai b'hem. The Torah says, these are the mitzvahs that I gave you v'chai b'hem. We live the mitzvahs. V'chai b'hem. Chazal say v'chai b'hem v'lo shiyomos b'hem. Meaning, if someone's living the Torah, and it's bringing death to him, it's bringing suffering, meaning from a spiritual perspective, it's stifling him, then it's not Torah. V'chai b'hem is a lifestyle. You shall live through Torah. Torah is a way of life. It's a way of living in this world. It's a way of living with your family. It's a way of living with your work and with your relationships. Torah has an expression in every area of your life. And that is what we thank Hashem on Shavuos for, that we're part of it. We get to live this life. We get to live the Torah life. And we should be grateful. And every day wake up with that attitude. Thank Hashem. Understand that you don't have to go anywhere. Asher bocha banu mikalam v'nasa lona es terasa barachat Hashem nesan atar.
Amen. Wow.
Everybody should have a wonderful Yontif. Enjoy the time with your family. Take out the playing cards from your pocket. Tune in. Be part of it. Mitchum will see you June 6th. Everybody have a wonderful Yontif. Take care.
Kol HaLashon, a whole world of quality content.